today as we come to the table.
I know where you are now, but I see what you're going to be. And so he gave him a name for what Peter was going to be, how God was going to work in his life and make him into what he wanted him to be. Well, the same thing is true for us here today. God sees you for what you're going to be, not where you are now. And as we're going to see when we look at Abraham's life, Abraham didn't start out with flying colors. He failed a lot of tests that God gave him. Sarah failed a lot of tests that God gave her. But we're going to see from today's passage that God uses Abraham and Sarah as examples to the entire world. Abraham is an example to men and in their way in following God, as well as being a man of faith. And Sarah is an example to women and living godly before the Lord as a woman.
We all have goals in life as humans. Some of us aspire to pursue our passions as careers, while others choose to follow in the footsteps of someone they admire. And in the pursuit of our dreams, we frequently make mistakes in our lives as a result of a bad decision that we made. We frequently fail in the trials of life. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark tells you in today's message how God sees the best in us and how he has the power to change you and make you an entirely different person. Your dreams and desires will be limited, but God sees the best version of yourself in you. He intends for your life to serve a purpose. All you have to do is allow God to transform your life and make you whole again. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 11, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Genesis chapter 11. As we now finish up the last part of chapter 11, and we're actually going to cover verses 10 to the very end and then get into a little bit of chapter 12 in the first three verses today. So looking at the call of Abraham. So why don't we read it together, and then we'll go back and look at it more closely once we're done. Let's read it. Notice it says, "This is the genealogy of Shem. And Shem was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. And after he begat Arphaxad, Shem lived 500 years and begat sons and daughters. And Arphaxad lived 35 years and begat Selah. And after he begat Selah, Arphaxad lived 403 years and begat sons and daughters. And Selah lived 30 years and begat Eber. And after he begat Eber, Selah lived 403 years and he begat sons and daughters. And Eber lived 34 years and begat Peleg. And after he begat Peleg, Eber lived 430 years and begot sons and daughters. And Peleg lived 30 years and begat Reu. And after he begat Reu, Peleg lived 209 years and begat sons and daughters. Reu lived 32 years and begat Serug. And after he begat Serug, Reu lived 207 years and begat sons and daughters. Serug lived 30 years and begat Nahor. And after he begat Nahor, Serug lived 200 years and begat sons and daughters. And Nahor lived 29 years and begat Terah. After he begat Terah, Nahor lived 119 years and begat sons and daughters. Now Terah lived 70 years and begot Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. This is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begat Abraham, Nahor, and Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in his native land in Ur of the Chaldeans. Then Abraham and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, and the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarah was barren. She had no child. And Terah took his son Abram, and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them to Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now, the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. Father, we thank you again for your word. Lord, I ask that you would just quicken your word to our hearts. Father, I pray that you would just speak to each individual heart in here what they need to hear from your word today. And we ask that you would teach us by your Holy Spirit, that you would open our eyes and our heart. And Lord, that you would just instruct us. We look forward to what you have for us today. And Father, as we look at the call of Abraham and the blessing of Abraham, Lord, I thank you that you've called us. And Lord, that you have blessed us as well. And so I pray that if there are some, Lord, hearing this that have not answered your call, and maybe are for even the first time hearing your call, that they would respond to it and receive it today, as well as the blessings that come in walking with our God. How we love you, Lord, and we give you this time and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we look at the blessing of Abraham. Now, this is a major turning point in the Bible that we've come to this morning, and that is, up until this point, the first 11 chapters, and really till we get to about the middle of chapter 11 here, God, for the most part, is dealing with the nation, or rather dealing with the world as a whole. Now, we do see God deal with them individually. There are some individuals that we see God deal with, like, you know, Adam and Cain and Noah, etc. We see a few individuals that are mentioned having this intimate, close relationship with the Lord. But for the most part, it's a worldwide view of what God is doing. There's a shift now when we come to chapter 11, and it really sets the tone for the rest of the Bible. And that is, we shift over now from this dealing with the world as a whole, per se, to where God begins to hone in to one particular man that spreads to one particular family, that spreads to one particular nation, and then spreads to the entire world as God brings in the Messiah and blesses through that family. So understand here, this shift that takes place, we're going to be seeing a lot more now about Abram, who becomes Abraham. We're going to see a lot more about the nation of Israel, and again, leading up to the promised Messiah, and again, God's plan for the entire world. You see, it wasn't that God necessarily held one person and one family as the only ones he loved, but God used them to bring in his love through his son, Jesus Christ, into the world. So again, we'll learn a lot more about Abram over the next few chapters and really the rest of the Bible. Now, who is this man Abram? As we said, or as I mentioned just a moment ago, he's the same one that we know of as Abraham. So when you see Abram, it's the same one as Abraham. Why did God change his name? Well, the reason for that is because God wanted his name to now represent what he was going to be. And, you know, you see even in the Bible, when parents name their children, they name them after something that they wanted them to be or some event that took place. God does that with his kids, but God gives his children a new name that represents who they're going to be, not maybe even who they are right now. And I think of Peter. Remember Peter? Peter, his name was Simon. And Simon was very unstable. He was very, he thought he was strong, at least physically he was strong, but he wasn't strong spiritually. And so Jesus saw Peter and he said, saw Simon rather, and he said, Simon, you'll now be Peter. And he goes on and says, the reason being is Peter means rock, and I see what you're going to be, Peter. I know where you are now, but I see what you're going to be. And so he gave him a name for what Peter was going to be, how God was going to work in his life and make him into what he wanted him to be. Well, the same thing is true for us here today. God sees you for what you're going to be, not where you are now. And as we're going to see when we look at Abraham's life, Abraham didn't start out with flying colors. He failed a lot of tests that God gave him. Sarah failed a lot of tests that God gave her. But we're going to see from today's passage that God uses Abraham and Sarah as examples to the entire world. Abraham is an example to men and in their way in following God, as well as being a man of faith. And Sarah is an example to women and living godly before the Lord as a woman. And so here's the encouragement in that, and that is this, is that no matter where you are today, the Lord knows where you're going to be. And probably you have a new name. I don't know what it is. But the Lord probably looks and says, now, there's so-and-so. And you're thinking, me? That's not me. I'm not that way. God says, not yet. But I'm doing a work, and you will be that way. This is where we take up with Abram. Abram was a man who had the call of God on his life. He needed lots of work, but we have a patient God that is willing to do it. And we'll also note that Abram, although he didn't start out great, although he wasn't a man of faith, of great faith, that is, from the beginning, he took small steps of faith. And because of his obedience to take small steps of faith, God was able to take him on to larger things and larger steps of faith. And again, there's a lesson in that for us. We need to make sure that we're faithful in the small things and taking the small steps of faith. And if we do that, God will bless us abundantly. Now, again, his name was changed. His original name, Abram, it means exalted father. And again, that's an appropriate name. We're going to see in a moment, God says, your name will be great. We know that he's the one that the nation of Israel still lifts up as their main icon, if you will. They have Abraham, they have Moses, a few of them, but Abraham's probably top dog. They all call themselves descendants of Abraham. And so we see that he is definitely was named probably prophetically by his parents as exalted father. But also the word Abraham, when God gives him his name, his new name, Abraham, it means father of a multitude. And again, this is where God not only saw that Abraham was going to be great as an exalted father, but he was going to be the father of a multitude. Now, there's two applications to this. Number one, yes, the father of a multitude of Israelites. A great nation over the years with, you know, tens of thousands and millions being born, a great exalted father and children there. But what we're going to see also in the scriptures today is that he was the exalted father of all who believe. And that is everyone who believes in Jesus Christ, who puts their faith in God. He is our example. He's the father of faith leading the way in that, and that we're the ones following that. So, yes, an exalted father as far as people go physically, but also as far as spiritually goes. And so we see in Romans 4:11, and you can jot that down to read later if you want. Speaking of Abraham, it says this, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe. In other words, even before he was circumcised, which is the sign of the Jewish nation now, he already received by faith the Father. And so what that does is that opens up the door, not only as him being the leading the way spiritually for the nation of Israel, but the uncircumcised, the Gentiles, those, it wasn't in their tradition. They didn't circumcise at that time. It was a sign that God gave the nation of Israel. And so again, he's saying for the Gentile and the Jew, Abraham has led the way as the father of faith for all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. What a great verse. So understand, when we talk about Abraham, it's not just the Jews that have bragging rights. We also are glad to be a part of the spiritual heritage of Abraham. And let me say this, anyone that believes in Jesus Christ is a spiritual son in that sense of Abraham and a spiritual child of God coming into the kingdom. So it's not a matter of the physical or even the genetic. It's a matter of the spiritual and Abraham being that for us. So that's what we see today. And there's a couple of things I want to point out in the genealogy. We're not going to go down the genealogy and look at everything in detail as far as the words and all that. But I do want to point out a couple things that are appropriate to us today because I mostly want to focus on chapter 12, the first three verses there, and the threefold blessing and the threefold promise that God gave to Abram, which we'll see indeed he has fulfilled. But a couple things. Notice as we read through those genealogies, I don't know that you noticed whether or not, they started out living much longer, and as we got down the genealogy, less and less years. And again, remember, we talked about why the sudden change in years. It's most dramatically seen, I think, probably in this genealogy as they're back to back and giving the years as it drops. But the reason being, more than likely, because of that, remember that water canopy that circled the earth there at creation when God says he separated the waters from the heavens, from the waters underneath, and most scientists believe, creation scientists believe, that indeed that would have been a shield to mankind from the radiation coming from outer space, and so therefore man's life would have been elongated quite extremely, and now that that is gone after the flood, and this is taking up the genealogies after the flood, we see a sudden and dramatic drop in the age of mankind. And again, now probably because of the ultraviolet rays coming in and all the radiation, but now we've settled off to a place where the lives are not nearly as long, but God gives us a portion of life as well, you know, in 70 years of promise, and many live much older than that. So the next thing I wanted to point out, notice here in verse 27, we get into what is called the genealogy of Terah. Now, why is this important? This is Abraham's direct line. We get down to Terah, and so there's more focus. God is taking it from this large funnel down to a point. And notice it says that Terah begat Abraham, or rather Abram, Nahor, and Haran begat Lot. And so again here, when we see Haran die later, the death of Haran, he had a son Lot, we're going to see that Abraham picks up the slack. And Abraham appears here as Lot dies. Abraham takes him in, makes him a family member, and now we're going to see Lot on the scene as well, traveling with Abraham in his journeys. They'll be together until we see them come out of Egypt and then being separated there where they go their separate directions, even though they're still connected as family. So important to take note here of Lot and Abram. The others will begin to fade off the scriptures once we get past this section. Notice also in verse 28, it says, and Haran died before his father, Terah, in his native land, in Ur of the Chaldees. And again, the death of Haran is significant because that's when the transfer went over of Lot to Abraham to take care of him. And so that's where we see those two getting linked up. Now, notice it says he was in the land, Ur of the Chaldees. Now, where's Ur of the Chaldees? If you picture a map in your mind and you see where Babylon is, or really we'd say modern day Iraq, you go down from the capital there, probably about 60 miles, and you get down to maybe farther than that, but you go down to the southern region and you come to the area called Ur of the Chaldees, the great city down there known as Ur. Now, there have been many excavations down there, and archaeologists now say, and they know that this was a very wealthy and advanced and progressive society. They had obviously great wealth, they find in the excavations, and again, very advanced for where mankind was at that time. But also what they found is they were very religious. Now note this, they were very religious. Their main god at that time was the moon god, which interestingly enough, his name was Sin. And we're going to see that God calls Abraham from worshiping sin into worshiping God. So almost kind of a play on words there. But the moon god was called Sin in this very religious society. But that should sound familiar to us. Think about that. A very wealthy society that's very religious. Does that not describe the nation we live in today? A very wealthy society, a very religious society, except as you know and I know, religion does not save you. And religion does not get you into heaven. Now, there is a good religion, biblical religion, the Bible says, is taking care of orphans and widows, and there is a biblical explanation to religion that works right. But the majority of what we call religion today is simply man's attempt to reach God, trying to make God happy, trying to reach up to God. That's man's attempt. That's religion. Whereas relationship is God reaching down to man and saying, I want to know you intimately. I want to know you personally. And so when we see a religious society, it does not necessarily mean a righteous or saved society or society that's going to be entering into heaven. Religion doesn't do it. You know, it's interesting. Maybe some of you heard this. Elton John came out and said that he wishes that all religions around the world would be banished and that you do away with religion. Now, as a believer, when you first hear that, you know, it kind of, you say, wait a minute, hey, who's this? You know, what's going on? Or what do you mean, you know, this? But then you begin to think about it. And as I begin to think about it, I say, you know what? In a strange way that he wouldn't understand, I agree with him. And it's only to this extent. What he's saying is I wish Jesus Christ would be done away with. But understanding that religion and Jesus Christ are not always linked, I just wish religion, in the sense of man's desire to work his way to God, would disappear and it would all be relationship. Because it's relationship with God that saves us. It's relationship with God that brings us into a meaningful and eternal salvation with God. So again, you're a very religious society. And we see now we get some further background of what Abraham was dealing with. Abraham being here, he probably grew up in a wealthy home. It was a very wealthy place. His family was very religious but unsaved, as we'll see in just a moment. And so many of you may have that background. You may say, hey, I understand that completely. I grew up in a home where my family was very religious, but they were unsaved. They went to church on a regular basis. They did all the religious things, but they didn't know Christ. Abraham knows where you're coming from. Abraham can associate with you. And so don't feel like you're the only one or that it's never happened before. This has been going since the beginning of time. And Abraham had to deal with unsaved family and friends the same way that many of us have had to deal with unsaved family and friends. And we're going to see that God called him out of it. And we're going to see that he eventually responded. But we're going to see again, as we said earlier, he didn't start out doing the best in that whole process. Notice in verse 29, it says, then Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. And the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. Now, we don't hear anything really more to speak of as far as Iscah and Milcah here in this passage, but there's a name you should recognize, and that is Sarai. And this is the same person that eventually became Sarah. So Abram went to Abraham, Sarai went to Sarah, and God is the same one that changed her name as well because God saw what she was going to be. Now, it's interesting. God spoke to Abraham on a regular basis, and Abraham would go home and tell his family what they were saying, his family, his servants. And you know, it doesn't say that God spoke to Sarah. It doesn't say that God spoke to the servants. It says God spoke to Abraham. And then Abraham would go home and tell them, and certainly his testimony went before him. They knew that he was a godly man. But can you imagine wondering what he's going to come home with today? You know, what's he going to say today? And so again, you know, it's interesting here with his name meaning, if you will, exalted father. Now her name, Sarai here, starts out meaning my princess. And it's referring to the name of her earthly father that he gave her. And you can imagine, those of you that have little girls, you look at them, there's my princess, you know. And, well, let's call her that. Let's call her my princess. All right, that's her name. My princess, Sarai. And so there she is, you know, daddy's girl, so to speak. But God sees her. And see, she's not just daddy's girl on a personal basis. She's father's girl. She's God's girl that God's going to use in much greater ways. And so now the time comes and God says, I'm going to change her name. We'll see that later on. But again, he changed her name to Sarah. Now it's interesting. The word Sarah means princess. Now the word Sarai means my princess. Notice the personalness to it. This is my little girl. This is my princess. God says, yes, right now. But she's going to be a princess in the world. And I'm going to use Sarah as an example to all women throughout time of what to me I see as a princess. See, Abraham was given as an example to us as men. And that is leading our families in righteousness, taking the spiritual leadership and saying, all right, God, you called me. I'm going to answer. I'm going to go. And I'm taking my family with us. Abraham is an example to all men throughout time, around the world. Sarah is an example to women. And God says, she's my princess. She was yours, but now she's mine, and I'm going to use her as an example. And so some of you women are saying, well, wait a minute. We're seeing Abraham. We're going to see Abraham a lot here and what it is that God wants men to be like, God, men of faith, that is, following and doing as God calls us, even going into unknown places and following the Lord. But what about a woman? What is a woman supposed to be like? Now, we know there are certain verses, and we don't have time to get into it today, but if you want to see what is considered to be a princess before God, read 1 Peter chapter 3. Because in 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter talks about Sarah and the way that Sarah dealt with her husband. And so you say, Lord, I want to be a princess before you. I want to follow that example. 1 Peter 3 is the one to go to. And so any woman who lives that way before God is considered a princess. Incidentally, God says that all of us are kings and priests, doesn't he? The Bible says that because of that, we need to walk worthy of that. And so that's what we see here in this naming of Sarah. God steps in and says, yes, you're his princess, but you're going to be mine. And I'm going to use you as an example to all the world and to women for generations to come. And so we have, if you will, the pieces now put together for the foundation leading into this next portion of Scripture. Now, again, notice here, and he talks about in chapter 12 here, as he gets into verse 1, notice what it says. It says, now the Lord had said to Abram, note that. If you're an underliner or a Bible circler, then circle the word had. Because this is key right here. You see, what this shows us is that God had spoken to Abram sometime earlier, but Abram had not heeded the call. Notice he told him earlier, get out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. God had given the call to Abraham, this great man of faith, and Abraham had not listened to the call. Now, why is that significant? Because some of you today may be listening to this and saying, you know what? I've heard the call of God, but I've not answered it either. I've always made excuses as to why I can't give my heart to the Lord, or as a believer, maybe why I can't fully commit. Abraham knows what you are going through. He was there. And again, what should be encouraging to us in this is because Abraham is known as the man of faith. He's the example of faith in all the scriptures. And if Abraham blew it, sometimes, and Abraham wasn't the man of faith he always needed to be, that's encouraging to us. Not that it's okay, and not that we should try not to have faith, I'm not saying that. But God said, you know what, I'm gonna work with you. And even in small steps of faith, if you'll just take small steps, I'll take you to greater, I'll take you to larger. And what we're gonna see in Abraham is, no, he didn't do everything right, but he did eventually take small steps of faith, and God rewarded that. And it also shows us God's grace, and God's mercy, and God's patience.
Thanks for joining us as we come to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark Kirk. In this series, Pastor Mark is teaching from the book of Genesis. Genesis is a book that covers genealogy, world history, and God's promises. It was written by Moses to those who perhaps needed the reminder of how God came through for his people, no matter what. Do you need this reminder today? We're so glad you decided to join us for this series. There's nothing greater than spending time together at the feet of our Lord. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville. If you're in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to see you in person. We have services on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. If you're interested, go to thewaymedia.net and scroll to the bottom of the page. You'll notice a link to Calvary Knoxville. If you can't make it in person, you can find all sorts of messages available at thewaymedia.net. Or you can download these messages too on the Way Media app. Find it at your Apple App Store or Google Play Store. We're about out of time for today's edition, but we want to hear from you. Would you give us a call and let us know what you've been learning from Genesis? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865-609-1385. Pastor Mark has more to share with us as we go verse by verse through this book of beginnings. Keep reading, so you'll be ready to dig through Genesis the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.